All right. You know what day it is and you know what time it is. Before we get started, I want you to listen to Clan Dyken. They're setting the tone for this evening show, Mission Possible, coming at you strong on BBSRadio.com. Yes, it's all about the man, the one.
The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. went down to Memphis just 2 days before he was assassinated. To fight for the rights of the garbage workers. Just 2 days before he was assassinated. And he said, we are marching today. We will have to march again. Was the struggle of the people that won the rights we might have today. Power never did concede nothing without a fight from the people. Power only fights to take those rights away.
Oh. All right, you know what day it is and you know what time it is, and yes, you are listening to Mission Possible Radio Show. That's our to you. Oh, yes, this is the boss, RJ, and yes, I opened this show up with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, a song by Klandyken, one of the very best that I know personally in terms of folk rock, whatever you want to call it. I met them in 1992 out at the test site, and I have been a big fan ever since. Yes, the man, Bear Dyken, does know how to write a good song. Oh, yes, I hope we can get them for the live H2O.org concert here in Hawaii. I'm going to do my best. Well, why would I start off with Martin Luther King, I guess you wonder, you know? It's not August 28th yet. Not time to think about that day yet, but somehow or another, the boss has discovered that that day is now going to set a new watermark. Oh, yes, August 28th, 2008, oh, yes, the countdown to America's future, the Democratic Convention. It is something going on here that absolutely trips in my synapses when I think about it. My mind starts to spin in all kinds of wonderful ways in terms of memories, like the corners of my mind. Oh, yes, I can think August 28, 1963. I can think about nonviolent action and civil disobedience. All to what? Direct attention to what? To a group of people long underserved in a so-called democracy. August 28, 1963 was the I Dream speech, and now the Democrats have worked their magic and have taken this very opportunity to somehow or another give us a parallel, give us a somehow or another instant groundswell of emotion about a particular man who is now poised and ready to take the stand. And I found that quite interesting. I wonder if the boss really likes the idea. I don't know. You see, there's something going on. I wondered why they took it out of the convention arena and put it over there in that stadium. So then I started looking and I started thinking about, well, where are the Democrats having their convention anyhow? And it said Invesco. And I said, oh. I said, where have I heard that name before? And when I realized that it has been associated with scandal, I said, oh, God's working its magic again, calling attention to these dirty hombres and how they all work it and how it's all part of their plan, mile high, up there in a security nightmare. Oh, yes, one of the most accessible stadiums ever. He has picked a stadium that is a security nightmare. Oh, yes, 80,000 people. That's nothing compared to what Dr. Martin Luther King gathered, 210,000 people right on the steps of the White House. To what? Does anybody remember? Well, all the time they give us the one about the I Will Dream, and then they give us the whole thing about the little white children and the black children. And one of my friends said, it's kind of interesting that these cowboys now can combine the little black children all into one man and somehow or another believe that we have arrived. And if we have arrived, and let's call attention to 1963, and let's call attention to the kind of speech that that man gave. And I think it's up to everybody to read that speech one more time. But what I like to do is give you some of my favorite parts. Oh, yes. He said, quote, when the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then as he spoke at that Lincoln Memorial and in front of all those people and in front of the nation, he said, instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt.
We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So, we have come to cast this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and security of justice. These are the kind of words that Martin Luther King spoke right in the middle of it all. And he realized then, as he began to work his magic, and as he began to pray to God, God sent messengers to him. And all of a sudden, it was more than equal rights. It was more than equal opportunities. It was a plea and a prayer for no more war. Now, it's true that we went from there to a schism within the black community in terms of this idea about war. And as Martin saw the death and became disgusted with the truth that was behind that war, he became an advocate of the peace movement, truly, truly at that moment, taking that stand, a stand that we all must take. This is a point where we went from the color of our skin being no different than the color of our eyes to now we have elitist ideas about intellect and intelligence and all the rest of this stuff and how you look and what you wear and how you put your hair and everything else. And we're not focusing on the values that were about the time in which we stood up and we felt that something was truly going to, what? Change. And that started with Rosa Parks. It did, too. It started with a woman. It started with a woman saying no. It started with a woman who was arrested. And we're not talking about a young woman. We are talking about an old woman, which falls in place with what a lot of my elders have told me about the struggle, that it is going to take our senior citizens, all of them who have so much to lose because they are part of that income we call poverty, as on their fixed incomes and that which is not enough as they manipulate the wealth, as they begin to redistribute the wealth. Where will this lead them? It started with a boycott. It started with a king. It started with him. It started with him saying, yeah, I'll take on the responsibility of publicity. And from that very first day that he took on the responsibility of organizing that boycott for that bus, and started taking on the cause of Rosa Parks, he was rewarded with national prominence. And in getting national prominence as a black man, that puts you in the scope of that which is real about this society, that within our society there exists an element as clearly as AIDS exists in our blood today, in our genetic background today. They've done the work. Now, who dared to compare Barack Obama to Martin Luther King? The media does. They don't even let us, whatever it is, make these comparisons for ourselves. They jump up and snatch the very meaning of the day and replace it with what I can only see as a corporate elitist idea of what Martin Luther King might have thought, but it is not what he was thinking of on that day in 1963 on August 28th. And the boss just wants you to know where I stand on this because some of you don't remember our heroes. You have idols now. How many people have braved death, stared it right down the eyes, and marched right into the midst of it, and come out alive. It took a sneaky assassin's bullet on a balcony, full of security, that stood aside. One of those men is Jesse Jackson, stood aside. And he inherited, and he was able to then move on. And the whole idea of this Vietnam War seemed to step aside and many, many blacks went off to die. This is the truth of the matter. Now, whatever history you all remember, I remember a different history, you see. And when they talk about him speaking, and when they talk about what it was that he was doing, there was a very close, close correlation between the two. Not a wide divide of uncertainty and flowery speeches as we are given today. Oh, the boss doesn't even want to touch what happened on Saturday with the whole God. He's going to leave that for Reverend Roxy on the Inside Hour to discuss that. Dr. Lynn will be going away. We're going to have him on the air to say goodbye to him and aloha, and then bye, he's off, and then we'll get to what I believe Reverend Roxy want to talk about in terms of this. Hello?
Praise the Lord.
Hi, Miriam. How are you, dear? Praise that Lord really big time, too, huh?
Are you on the radio, or are you letting the tape play?
I am on the radio, and so are you.
Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay.
Have you been listening?
Yes, you was talking about the military, I think.
Well, it's not a test. I'm not... What do you think about all of what I'm saying?
Well, I just got on because I was doing my prayer warriors.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You know, I kind of know, I want to introduce everybody to Miriam Snyder. Some of you might have been listening regularly. No, she's one who is over on TalkShoeRadio.com, and she does the End Organized Crime radio
and
show,
warriors.
And she also has Prayer Warriors.
Right, and it's not radio. Remember, TalkShoe's not radio.
TalkShoe's not radio. It's internet radio. Right?
Right, but they can put in TalkShoe.com.
Yeah.
And just put in End Organized Crime or Prayer Warriors, and you'll see. And we pray for the nation. We're intercessors. And we did a show already, but I don't want to, you know, I'm just listening, and if you...
Okay, well, I'm going to get to the part about the boycott and try and catch everybody up to why it is that they dare to compare Barack Obama to Martin Luther King. What do you think about that?
I didn't catch that. Could you please catch me up? Who compared Obama to Martin Luther King?
Well, you know that he's going to be giving his speech on August 28th.
About his VPs. I know his VP is...
accepting a nomination. That's the day that Martin Luther King in 1963 spoke to 210,000 people on the steps of inside of the Lincoln Memorial. Now, my whole slant on the whole thing is that there are people out there who dare to compare Barack to Martin Luther King, and I thought that it was important that we remind people that no way in the world did Barack come up the way King came up.
No.
Into national prominence and into our very, very living rooms and into our lives.
No. No comparison.
No comparison whatsoever.
No.
What's your memory of the man?
Of Dr. Martin Luther King?
Of course.
Oh, I mean, they just don't make him like him anymore. For example, in fact, we were comparing today a lawyer friend of mine how... Martin Luther King had nothing to do with the sanitation workers, but he knew of that injustice there, and he took that march right there. Right now in America, black, white, or indifferent, okay, when something, a great injustice is happening, you're left on your own. In fact, the attorney was even telling me that a new ruling, I have to find the exact citing, so I'll be able to tell your audience next time. A new ruling just went through where... if a lawyer does you in, you just lost your right to sue the lawyer. They put some new ruling in where you can't even sue your lawyer.
Did he mess up the case?
Yeah,
you can't sue him?
Exactly. There's some new malpractice law that just went some outrageous that encourages lawyers to let them know they're working for the corporation or the officer, and that, you know, no matter what, you know, if your client gets mad at you, you have nothing to fall back on. Don't worry about it. But you're going to do what the big boys want.
I will
cite that information the next time I come on.
Oh, that'll be good. Now, this is the reason everybody to be listening to Miriam and follow her over there to talk to you and see what she's doing over there in the End Organized Crime, because that's not an unreasonable request.
Yeah, this is the way we're moving. So the comparison with Dr. King we were making today was Dr. King had nothing to do with the sanitation movement, but he knew of the gross injustices that those sanitation workers were enduring. And he took it upon himself to go, because that's what leadership does. Leadership comes out of self and does the right thing. You can't find that today. If you have an injustice going on, you can go from organization to organization, and you're on your own. Okay? What is the leading force in these United States right now is what is politically correct. It has nothing to do with justice. And we have to change that. And that's why I also ask everybody to go to Kucinich.us, and make sure you get your vote in, you know, to sign his petition. Because that's another great leader. That's a man that exemplifies leadership.
Very true. I sang my campaign song. I wrote a long time ago. I wanted to give for him when he was running for president. And I got to sing it to him over here in Hawaii. And I gave him some of my Raisin Cane sorbet and made lunch for him.
That's a great man.
Yes, a very great man.
He's the only thing that's encouraging to me about leadership.
Yeah, very true. Very
but I
true.
Think we should all take it in prayer, too, for godly leadership. That's the key factor.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Chicago, because that's where Martin Luther King was headed when he was cut down. And it was on April 3rd, the day, just 24 hours before he was assassinated, that he said, quote, like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. In less than 24 hours, he was dead. You see what I'm saying? This is how it works. You talk about targeted individuals. And there isn't a person on this planet, in America, I should say, especially white America, that doesn't forget what happened on that day. On that day that they shot Martin Luther King, over 125 cities went all off. You see. And because they didn't remember what King was about. You see. And so the whole idea, we played into the hands of white America by them shooting one of our great people. We then became violent again, and we began to sanction violence again. And there's where the whole thing just took two steps backwards. At least that's as far as I'm concerned. People like Stokely Carmichael, they have a right to speak. And certainly if we look underneath the hood, we'd realize that a lot of these people were agent provocateurs, and that when they spoke, they wield no power, but people would then, just like fire, holler fire, and everybody starts to stampede. This is what happened after King died. And just 2 months after that, they took Robert Kennedy out. So it's a period that we're talking 40 years ago. These are anniversaries that we cannot forget. And in these anniversaries that we have now, we are substituted with and given what I consider to be pablum when it comes to the advancement of all black and white and poverty, the whole poverty movement, to come up here now to be comparing this elitist lawyer-type individual who never marched in anything, never stared down the gun or nothing, and tell him that he has a plan for our future. Well, who is he talking about, and who is he ready to defend? These are the questions that I ask about both candidates, and what type of God leads them, you see. And so that was,
let me ask you, what about Cynthia McKinney?
Huh?
What about Cynthia McKinney? What are your feelings?
About McCain?
McKinney.
Oh, Sister McKinney? Sister McKinney is a breath of fresh air, you see. And when you talk about targeted individuals, which you know you have a lot of experience with in dealing with people who target, that's what Cynthia McKinney is. And the only reason she's a targeted individual is because she's telling the truth about these cowboys. When she went in there and did her research, she found out. And see, they don't like that. But they can't take her out that quick. So now she can run. She can run on the Green Party. She can run. But they're blocking her out, you know. You have to get it to the people. So it's up to the people to start checking out Cynthia McKinney. Just give her a try. Just give her a look.
She is right. She is running for president. She is on the Green Party. And I urge, you know, all your listeners to check her out just for your own edification, you know, just for your own enlightenment to see where she stands, because she's made some great accomplishments. And she is a black woman running, but this is beyond color. I was quite disappointed to even find out the Black Congressional Caucus didn't even support her. So when you come out here, you come out on your own. Kucinich is on his own, McKinney's on their own, and they're really trying to do the right thing.
All right. Well, you've been listening to there, Miriam. And Miriam, I'm going to have you hang up. Maybe somebody else will call in. And I'll have you on the show
Glenn
real soon.
In. He's a lawyer.
I'm going to get my long distance thing all going so we can start talking again real soon.
Okay. I'm going to try to have a caller call in, okay? His
all
name
right.
is Glenn.
Well, I'm going to play some music, and then when he hears the music over, then he can call in, okay?
Okay. We'll do. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, she was listening to Miriam. Yeah, it's really nice. You know, I'm going to play another song for you. This one's kind of fun because this one's going to take us into what we're talking about tonight, and we're going to do this one. This one is another Klan song, Klan Dykin, that is, song, and I hope you enjoy it. Nothing ever goes right when you're doing it live, but we'll try again.
Old Tom Jefferson, rolling in his grave, rolling in his grave, rolling in his grave. Old Tom Jefferson, rolling in his grave. Tell me, who are the Nazis now? Who are the Nazis? Who are the Nazis? Who are the Nazis now? Who are the Nazis? Who are the Nazis? Who are the Nazis now? They took Lady Liberty, hold her in a cage, hold her in a cage, hold her in a cage. Took Lady Liberty, hold her in a cage. Tell me, who are the Nazis now? Who are the Nazis? Who are the Nazis? Who are the Nazis now? Who are the Nazis? Who are the Nazis? Who are the Nazis now? He took the Bill of Rights and stomped it to the ground. Stomped it to the ground.
Nazis now. You're listening to BBSRadio.com, and this is Mission Possible, and I'm the boss, RJ, kicking it here on Sunday. Yeah, who are the Nazis now? Now, that'll take you doing some due diligence. Do your homework, and you will know who the Nazis are. I tell you, I found out who they are, and I'm not in awe, because I follow the law, which is God's law. Praise that, and know that they can't hurt me, because I have a promise that has been given to me, not personally, it's been given to all of us, that we can be saved from the devil's machinations. And that's exactly what I call what's going on today. And who are the Nazis now? They've not given up. They didn't lose the war. They just changed it around a little bit. And they realized early on that they no longer needed to blitzkrieg what maybe 10,000 microorganisms could do is greater than any bomb dropped on a neighborhood and cheaper at the price once you've done the research and development. You know, there's a lot in the news about vaccines, and the boss got a bad feeling that the cowboys are out here now, and they know what they're getting ready to do. They done sent all the vaccine makers over to China. So when you stand there, remember, made in China, and ask yourself, is that a placebo? Or are you just happy to see me? anyhow, this doctor will say, or it's what you can say to the doctor. This is an experiment that's just too unbelievable. You say, oh, boss, you're just paranoid. I say, well, if I'm paranoid, then what are they spending all this money for? You know, and you say, what money? I say, boy, they've been appropriating, and they've been expecting, and they've been investing, and they've been researching, and they've been busy. Now, why would they be busy looking for vaccines? What diseases? Anthrax. You know, this is going to blow up in their faces. This is all going to blow up because they realize now they don't have the kind of minds. Their minds are not as sinister as the minds that came before. They're not the biggest bullies in the world. Hello?
Yes, it's me again. I just wanted to make sure. I had not been on your show. So I just wanted your callers to know that the website is endorganizedcrimeuniverse.com. That's endorganizedcrimeuniverse.com. Thank you.
You're welcome, Miriam. That's not an unreasonable request, is it, to end organized crime? Because that's exactly what's going on here. Now, if you end organized crime, you're going to have to get rid of Clinton and the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. You're just going to have to get rid of all the parties if you want to end organized crime. You're going to have to end the collusion of universities with government and industrial complexes, which equals death. You want to get rid of organized crime, you're going to have to get rid of the Vatican. You're going to have to get rid of the Church of England. You're going to have to get rid of all of the major institutions, all the colleges. You're going to have to go back to another. You know, you want to end organized crime, you're going to have to go all the way back to Eden. You're going to have to apologize for eating that apple for being curious. And you're just going to have to decide to accept whatever it is we got coming for the insane plan. You know, we're going to be over, the Democrats are going to be over there in PepsiCo land, running around in the investments. What are we talking about here, folks? What are we talking about here? Oh, the other thing I wanted to talk about tonight, you know, when we talk about this, there was a guy that was shot 3 times. Now, this, whenever Arkansas has any kind of, and when it's the Democrats, anytime I hear anything about, I go back to Larry Nichols. Please, do your homework, do your due diligence, and understand who Larry Nichols is, and it'll give you clues to why these guys come up dead. And the money gets funny, because the money is funny, you see, because that money is squeaky clean by the time it goes to the Democratic Party, but it has gone through the veins of many people. It's gone up the noses of many people. It has gone down into the bowels of all kinds of disgusting things that are done with money. And don't forget gambling. There's a direct correlation between the two. And movies. Oh, my goodness. You want to create a sensation? You want to create a sensation? Stop going to the movies. Stop buying their movies. Stop looking at their movies. Say there ain't nothing you can show me. There's no story that you could tell me. And watch what happens to the finances of America, you see. Their movies is the way they launder and move a lot of money around, too. Through these trust funds for all these actors who think they're worth so much money, giving them land, giving them finances, only to be the very land and the very constitution, which is now a non-constitutional a country. We're a non-constitutional country now, not an unconstitutional country. A very country that would bestow that kind of wealth on individuals will take it away in a heartbeat. Don't matter to them. You know? And when we think about this, when you think about this money, oh, they just made 88 million zillion dollars on Batman, and now this other movie has moved up and broke the record. And at the same time, the Democratic and Republican Party is raking in all this money from where? From who? From Canada, from Italy, from Spain, from Latin America. Which money's coming from? You see. And whose money is it? And it's being spent. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the truth of the matter. It's all manipulated. Now, that's cool. You know, as long as they tell you, this is a fixed game, and you ain't gonna get to play in it, well, then you'd understand. But they don't tell you that. And what's coming, the change that's coming, I don't like that word too much. You know, that's what you get when you break a dollar, change. And you don't have a dollar, what kind of change you have? They took change away a long time ago when they changed from food stamps to those little ATM cards for the food stamp people. Took their whole opportunity of negotiating their own future right out of their hands. No longer could you use the poverty money to do other things with it. You had to buy food, you know. So it's not right or wrong. I'm just saying they keep changing the game. As soon as you get caught up into one thing, they change that and you get another thing. But this guy that died with the three bullet holes in him, and then the mad chase that ended in the shooting with a captured dead victim. This is the kind of stuff Arkansas is famous for. Now, let's look at this. This man had a life. This man had children. The man was kind of young, but this man also had money, 3 car dealerships. And he was a favorite because he said, I'm in politics because I can afford to be in politics. Now, he's an interesting man. He's a close friend of Bill Clinton. Right there, you can smell the stench. If you're a close friend of Bill Clinton, there ain't no way you can walk around that man and not get stinky, not get something on you, not be asked to do something wrong. And it's at that point when they ask you to do something wrong and you say no, that you pretty much can figure that somewhere along the line, your life will be terminated, neutralized. This is the truth of the matter. Now, got this man, he said, he work at Target. Now, in the news they say, he's targeted this man. Okay, so he worked at Target. Now, they go into his house and they find a post-it with the man's name written on it. Now, they say that's a clue. Now, what does that clue tell you? It tells you what? That he didn't know who he was supposed to be killing until he got the word. Or they put that there. Because anybody who knows what they're going to do, they do it. Now, maybe he was a contract killer. He went to the Baptist church and he told them at that convention, he said, I lost my job. Now, is it possible that this person was manipulated? And he was from Mike Beebe's, you know, you got to know Arkansas, but the governor's hometown, Searcy, this is where this man come from. Now, the way Boss reads it, and the way I think it's going to go down is like this. You know, last week we had all this murmur about Hillary and having her night. Well, she got her night. Okay. Now, there's a whole question about the delegates and the whole idea because, see, it ain't over. You know, the politics is really funny that way, you know what I'm saying? You can make your last grandstand and you can whoop and holler and do all of that. Now, depending upon how this man felt about that, and depending upon how all that money was going to be distributed for the race after they got finished with the convention, this is where it gets good, because you know Hillary, she borrowed a lot of money. Now, also, you got to combine in with all of this is that this man know a lot about the Stevens Inc. people. That's Arkansas. Now, when you add all of this in and you do your homework, the guns go off and the people die and the people come up missing and the money goes through and everything's okay and we have our election. Okay. For whatever reason, this is America. It's like the Caligula, you know. This is like wrong back when it lost its true mind. I mean, really, seriously, when the lead in the pipes got so bad, you know, and the people and the cretins were being born and everybody was just weak, sick to death. This is the kind of stuff you get. This is what you get out of a sick society trying to engineer. But this isn't just our society. We got Polish people backing this guy, Hungarian people, George Soros, he had to distance himself from him. You got the Brzezinski guy, the one that, the defense guy. You got the Wesley Clark man who used to be associated with the whole thing with the BCCI and the whole thing. Banks, and he made a bundle of money in a deal with Goldman Sachs. These people, they're really big, major freaking players. And this is what's backing Obama. These are the players. Now, if you place a bet, they say you can't win a race unless you place a bet. Now, which horse you want to place your bet on? A former guilty of misjudgment McCain with the Keating Five and the lying wife? Or do you want to go with this Operation Star thing with the black man and the whole thing with the finances and the lawyers and the whole nine yards? Or do you want to go with the black woman who's decided to save all of us by saying, new day, new game, come and talk to me? But that won't work. Because by the time it's all over, you know what Bush is going to do. He's going to give the green light to Israel that he won't do anything if they attack Iran. And in that time between November and January 20th, whoever it is that steps in is going to have to continue some mayhem that was created by a madman, by madmen who have been around too long. Like I told you, my secret scenario is that if you shake the tree and Obama comes out and he's okay, then you know what he does on that day. I told you. One more time, I'm going to explain to you how the scenario goes. He raises his hand and he says, I do. He turns around and he says to George Bush and Dick Cheney, you're under arrest. The Joint Chiefs of Staff said, we back you up, Obama. We got to get to the end of this. We know this war was going to work, but how the heck? It's kind of like the way the Wizard of Oz all ended, you know, where the, oh, we, oh, yo, humpback them guys, you know. They stood up and they cheered for Dorothy and was ready to lead. Well, I hope that they would cheer for Obama. And I would want and expect the same thing out of McCain. McCain never really liked the Bushes anyhow. There's been a big schism in the whole Republican community. No matter how many hugs, I know he don't like Bush. I know he think he's a really low-life character. I know he know that he don't believe in God or anything else. And the other thing I wanted to get out really quick is, you know, a lot of people say the occult thing is going on with the Republicans and all, and I say, well, maybe that's true, you know, they got that occult thing going on. It's hard to bust up that whole group. It's been working for them, but you got a whole lot of people who are disgusted about that whole idea. And all I want to let you know is that a lot of people don't realize this, is that when Ronald Reagan took the oath of office in 1981, January 20th, 1981, okay, they, for the first time in history, took the oath on the west side of the Capitol. Now, the west side of the Capitol. Now, for all that time, they've always been on the east side of the Capitol, but they changed it to the west side. So when you think about which direction you're facing and what hand actually is being raised, he reversed the oath. And in reversing that oath and putting his hands on Corinthians, I forget, I don't have my note in front of me, I should just put it together because it's here. He put that in place. He gave that oath. And this is how it all started. And Bush took the oath first. Now, it's the first time we had an intelligence agent in the White House, in the VP spot, and a very active vice president. That's why we know he's lying when he says he's not in the loop. Let's see. You know, he was in the loop. He was the loop. He was the whole kit and caboodle. This is a young man who came up through OSSO. And just like I said, the difference between news and current events is the time it takes to edit or the time it takes for mainstream to get to it. But oh yes, OSS was in the news, the Office of Strategic Intelligence or whatever that service is. It was in the news and they are looking into it. And I'm like, whoa, explaining how the OSS was the CIA. Well, when you start seeing that in the mainstream news, you know something's up. And it's fair for them to talk about it. It's fair for them to go all the way back to the Tower Commission. It's fair for us to look at all of these things. We need to understand how these men do business. We need to understand how they contract, how they do what they do, and who gets what. And lawyers, especially bond lawyers, make big money. They get a percentage, and this is the deal here. Because when you look at Arkansas, you see the Stevens, you can see them building all the highways and everything and backing all those bonds, like 10 cents on the dollar and being paid more than that after it's finished for loaning the money so the job could get done. This is the kind of stuff that's been going on in Arkansas, and they've been siphoning off money, and that money goes to run campaigns and to do whatever it is, to buy guns and drugs and all of that. You know, it's important that we make these correlations. I want you all to know is that if we're going to have a president, that president can't be silent on the past, and they certainly shouldn't be stealing us with those of us who know what's really going on. You know, this is Mission Possible Radio Hour, and I guess you understand what it is that I'm doing, and I'm going to continue to do it as I live and breathe. Hello? Hi. Who's calling?
Hi. My name is Delisa Schooler. I am living in Brighton, Colorado.
Hi.
Hi, I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, well, welcome, dear. Welcome to Mission Possible.
Oh, thank you. I'm a target of electronic surveillance and harassment.
I believe
and,
that.
Yeah. And I've listened to Miriam Snyder's show on TalkShoe, just as well as I have a website on organized crime waves called Delisa's Review. But since I've been tortured tremendously, I've been a target for 20 years. Military-grade weapons have been used on me. I've been tortured several times for 24 hours. I get the V2K. I've had my car shot out, my sunroof shot out before. They're not allowing me to work. I have a child. And they're very racist to me, so I just wanted to state what I'm going through.
You know, it's very incredible the kinds of things that are happening to people, and I am so aware, and I'm glad that you called to let other people know. And one more time, could you tell them exactly where people can go to listen to you and to and find out about targeted individuals and what you're going through?
Oh, sure. Well, if you want to know about targeted individuals, you can go to electronic surveillance and harassment. There's a lot of websites. I have a column that I write on on organized crime waves. And it's called Delisa's Review, and it tells you what I'm going through and what other people, what else other people are going through. I have a phone number, and anybody who wants to call is welcome to call me.
Go ahead and tell them then.
Okay, thank you. It's 702-309-5625.
Very good.
And just as well as they've left burn marks on my face. And I read an article. I was not realizing what the burn marks actually were, but they do the radio frequency in my ears so long and so bad, it causes tremendous heat to build up in your ears and your brain, and it causes burn marks to your face. So they've actually I've actually experienced that just as well.
They do have weapons that can create heat, frequency microwave weapons that can be aimed at people, directed specifically at people, and create burning sensation. What you and I both know, you're in Colorado, right?
Yes, I'm in Colorado right now.
There's a lot of stuff going down in Colorado, and will continue. You know, that's where the Denver is where the Democratic Convention is going to be held real soon, and so you should see a lot of strange things flying in the air, and you should prepare to not be going out too much. Take precautions to keep safe and to protect your blood by not eating foods that are cooked out in the public, and just know that, that it's not paranoia. They are trying to kill us.
Well, they've left nieces in my home.
That's why we have to pray.
Yeah.
That's why we have to pray more than anything else, because there's only the power of Jesus and the power of that which sent Jesus that is going to back these cowboys up.
Exactly.
And that we have to stand on that, and that's exactly what we have to do, and we have to tell what we see. So that's why it's good that you call in, and you have a sympathetic ear in Boss RJ, because I have been in the past a targeted individual, and if I continue to keep talking the way I do, I will be one again. You see what I'm saying? Which doesn't really bother me, because then it lets me know that it's working, that we are having an effect on them.
And we all appreciate your work, and we appreciate.
Imagine if the Christians were scared to go into the arena.
Right.
Where would their faith be today?
Yes, that's right. I was on Miriam Snyder's Prayer Warriors, and she comes on Talk Soup at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So I'm a regular guest on that, just as well as her Talk Soup, her show, which she talks about targeted individuals on Mondays and Wednesdays. So I do try to stay prayed up, and I do try to hear the word, though I am a little discouraged, because they target my brain so bad, and they do so much targeting towards my neural synthesis. So it is a little discouraging, but
you keep praying.
Yeah, I do try to pray, and I do try.
Don't discount prayer. It's a genuine thing.
Right, I do try to stay in the word these days.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm coming down to the end of my show here, Lisa. I want to thank you for calling in.
Oh,
I'm going to do my wind-up, and I hope you enjoy my ending song, which is called No More Silence.
Oh,
all right?
Great.
So stay listening. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You see, people, this is real. This is the way it is. This is the real deal. There's a lot of bad going down out there, and there's a lot of victims who don't need to be victims if we all come together and we can come up with some real serious investigation and evidence. We have to back up our friends, and we have to begin to listen, because these cowboys are doing some incredible things out there. All you have to do is talk to the people in Iraq and know that a lot of the weapons that are being used on them were tested on Americans before they went over to Iraq. This is where these guys are. But tonight I'm going to end my show with my last song here, and after it's over, you won't hear from me no more. It is a pleasure for me to do these shows, and I, in the future, hope to do more shows. And I didn't want to tell y'all, but tonight is my last show. I'm going to be taking over for Dr. Len Horowitz when he's out, and I just don't find it possible for me to be able to do two shows. And Sunday show is one that I feel I've done my mission. And so, therefore, we will begin to concentrate on the live H2O concert Dr. Len has given me. And this group that I have been playing this evening is hopefully the featured band that will be playing at the live H2O here on the Big Island in June of 2009. And with that, I'm going to end with the song that impressed Dr. Len to have me seek them out and to look into getting them, and I'm hoping that I will be successful, and that is Klondike. And anybody that wants to check them out and their music, just type in Klondiken, D-Y-K-E-N, and you will. And these songs, all of these songs, were off the No More Silence. Off the Spellbreaker album. So here is the last song of the evening, and thanks for listening to Mission Possible Radio Hour. All right. Let's see if I can get this going here. Where are you? Hurry up. Oh, my goodness. What's going on? It won't play. I'm going to get it. No, not that one. All right, everybody, listen to this song. It's called No More Silence. It kind of tells you where it's all about Mission Possible, too.
I'll tell you a story and it won't take too long about the people from the fancy land who know right from wrong. They got a serious sense of right and they want to be strong. But they won't be around in the end to say what went wrong. I don't want to live in ground zero no more. I don't want to push war with my silence. I don't want to love fear or to fear love no more. No more, no more silence. History. When the planes into the building slammed, soon bombed Afghanistan. His daddy and his buddies were getting fired on more money. Never once did slow, never once looked back. The world said no, he said yes, look by my rack. Had to cook up some fiction, sex up his diction. Keep the people scared for fear of weapons mass destruction. He had to lie, he had to spy, he had to deny those who asked why. In the end he said we're the superpower, we'll decide who died. Besides, we got cash and weapons stacked up to the sky. Need to use them, need to lose them, need to blow them off, show them off. We need a war, that's what they're for. Then he said he's talking directly to the big guy. He got a hotline to the God mind, and God said to the victor goes the spoil. And to the American corporations, guess what goes all the Iraqis' oil. By the way, move over, Rover, we'll take over if you please. Shucks! Damn! We still didn't find any WMDs. Flash to a picture of Rumsfeld shaking hands with Saddam Hussein. They're setting them up and knocking them down and setting them right back up again. Talking tough on a terrorist, but everybody knows ya. That he was running drugs and guns with the Ayatollah and the Contras. And whatever really happened with Manuel Noriega and Pinochet, we could go on all day talking about these guys that used to work for the CIA. We're gonna make the people of the world feel the way the people of the world feel today. And then Junior Georgie bowed his head and prayed for the Jewish souls that were lost. He said that we should never ever forget about the Nazi Holocaust. He said that guys like Hitler shouldn't get no more chances. I bet he hopes nobody checks into his granddaddy's finances. You see, making profit off the war was in the family. President Bush in World War II, he was in thick with the Nazis, using Polish slaves from Auschwitz to make the Third Reich steel, to make the guns and bombs and bullets the American boys would feel. Money, money was made hand over fist. Bush was doing business with the fascists. Money, money was made, where did it go? It's in the family coffers and it still does flow like the blood that was spilled from the people who were killed and the voices of injustice that will never be still. Echoing down through history till it's in your living room. If the rat gets away with the cheese, he's coming back real soon. We can talk and talk all day. It really doesn't matter. What matters is the future, what they got on the platter. Exporting more fear and repression and high-tech violence. We need some answers. We need some justice. We need no more secrets. And we need no more silence. No, 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 no more silence. No more silence. No more silence.
No more silence.